And I see this with a lot of other veterans. I see that sense of purpose, I think, is thrown around a lot. Like the phrase, you get out of the military, you lose your sense of purpose. Okay, but what does that really mean? Because what is my purpose in the first place? And a lot of us really don't know. I would say that a lot of my personal purpose is in this field of military mental health. That is my passion. That's my purpose. That's what makes me feel good. And I know I'm helping other people, but then there's other things too to that purpose, right? Like there's the basic human needs. There's that feeling like I'm contributing piece. There's that feeling like I am a good mom piece. I'm a good wife. I'm a good friend. There's all these different puzzle pieces that fall into place. And it's not always just as simple as like, oh, just get out of the military, go get a job, and you now have your purpose. And only we know what our actual purpose is.
Welcome to Your Story Doesn't End Here, the mental health podcast of military and veterans who refuse to be silenced. I'm your host, Rachel, and my mission with this podcast is to be a voice for those who don't have a voice, bring awareness to mental health issues, provide value and solutions, and to change the culture when it comes to mental health within the DoD organizations.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Your Story Doesn't End Here. I am your host, Rachel, and I'm actually in a legit studio today, which is really, really exciting. One just opened up in my town in Oak Harbor, Washington. So if you are in the Whidbey Island area, the studio is absolutely amazing, and I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to use it. It's like, if you're watching on video, it's weird because I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hands. But yeah. Super grateful to be here. And I'm just kind of recording an episode on the fly today, because if you notice, every once in a while, when I have a lot of solo episodes in a row, it's usually because something got a little messed up with my scheduling, which is okay. Such is the world of podcasting. If you are a podcaster, you know. And we just kind of go with the flow. And it's like one of the areas in my life where I can go with the flow very easily. And it's probably because I've been doing it for a little over 2 years. But with that, I actually had a really, really awesome idea pop up in my head, something I wanted to talk about a few days ago. I kind of pre-recorded it on my phone, and then I was like, oh, I got to get in the studio and record this. So I'm really excited to be talking about this today. Those of you that kind of follow me on social media, on my personal life, know that I started 75 hard. I think it's 9 days ago now. I believe I'm on day 9, not day 8. But it has been a journey so far, let me tell you. And this is probably my like fifth or sixth time starting 75 hard, and probably the only time I've actually made it past day one. But to kind of backtrack a little bit, a lot of people that I meet on the veteran side of life, similar to myself, the one thing that a lot of veterans I find struggle with is discipline, but usually in the realm of like, they're over-disciplined. Like the military taught them all these things, like you're going to wake up early every morning and you're going to fold your clothes and make sure this is clean and this and this and that. And they continue that routine for the rest of their life because that's really all they know, because that's what they learned in the military. And for me, I'm really the exact opposite. And I think one of the things that disappointed me about when I was serving in the military is that I wanted to become this person that became super disciplined. And if you served with me when I was at VQ1, you know that there were a lot of days that I showed up to work late, that I did not wake up on time. It's funny, one of my stories when I was there, I actually woke up an hour late for work. No one recognized that I was not at work and no one said anything. I actually called into my LPO. And I said, hey, like, I just woke up, I'm running late. He's like, okay, cool. See you in a little bit. Like, didn't care. Which on one hand, like, cool. That's really awesome. I'm really grateful that I had people that were understanding. On the other hand, I'm like, man, like, sometimes you need that, like, kick in the ass to really, like, get your shit together. And I didn't really get that when I was in the military. But discipline is really something that I've struggled with my entire life. And it's not in every single area of my life, but in very specific areas. And that's why a lot of times I'm like, am I ADHD? But when I talked to the people at the VA, when I did my disability claim, my CMP exam, they were like, no, it's not ADHD from what we can tell. It's just trauma manifesting into symptoms of ADHD. And so I'm still kind of working through a lot of that stuff. But The reason I decided to start 75 hard is because discipline is something that I really, really want to get better at. I remember when I attended UPW Unleash the Power Within by Tony Robbins a few, I think it was like two years ago now, maybe a year ago. I don't quite remember. It was 2 years because my daughter was like 4 months old. But one of the things that I guess I didn't resonate with was Tony Robbins was talking about how a lot of people are stuck in this cycle of discipline, like too much discipline. And I'm like, man, I cannot relate to that. And maybe some of you listening can relate to me as well on like, there's too much freedom in a lot of areas of life. And I need to dial in on those things that I know are going to make me a better person, because I know if I can get better at self-discipline, then so many things in my life are going to change for the better. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. Well, with 75 hard, and for those of you who aren't familiar, it consists of drinking a gallon of water a day, 2 45-minute workouts, one has to be outside, reading 10 pages a day of a nonfiction book, ideally in the entrepreneurial, personal development, something like that, some kind of like self-betterment book. And what was the other thing? Oh, some kind of diet, which I simplified the diet. I am not doing like a keto or a paleo or like any of those like mainstream type diets. I literally just said, listen, there are certain things that I know I'm addicted to. I always get at certain points in my life addicted to sugar in some kind of form. Right now they're peanut butter cookies from Whidbey Coffee. If you know, you know. And then also there's a cold brew. It's called the Caramel Crunch Cold Brew. It's got English toffee in it, has caramel in it and cream, and it is delicious. And so I was having one of those like every single day. So I was like, you know what, for my diet, I'm going to simplify it. I'm just going to cut those two things out and I'm going to have one protein shake a day. And that's it. Like those are the parameters of my diet. As long as I follow those few things, I've hit my diet for the day. I'm also avoiding sweets, but I'm not like completely cutting out sweets. And the reason that I'm taking this approach to 75 hard is because I am actually trying to create something that is sustainable for me. And I know that if I say, oh, we're going to follow this really, really strict, stringent diet, that that's not going to be sustainable for me. And it's not going to work long term. I want a lot of these habits that I'm creating to go beyond the 75 days. And so far, it's working really well, because I know that I'm not so strict that I feel like I'm missing out on something, but it's still really hard for me. Like sugar is one of those things that when I am like latched onto something sugary that my body craves all the time, it's so hard to break out of that. I went through my Twizzlers pull and peel era. I went through my Snickerdoodle cookie era. If you went to boot camp with me, I would literally collect Snickerdoodle cookies. Now in boot camp, it didn't really matter because I was working out and moving so much that I actually lost a bunch of weight. But my everyday sloth self that sits around way too much and doesn't move, it's been adding on the pounds and I just don't feel my greatest. And so beyond the physical, the mental side and the discipline side of things is where I'm like, okay, you need to get your shit together, Rachel. But what I wanted to really dive deep into today is this book that I'm reading called Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz. And this book was actually recommended to me by Tyler Devereaux. He is the CEO of Multifamily Mindset. And when I got really involved in that program, I want to say it was 2 years ago, a lot of that was personal development. And so every single month there was like a recommended book. And that wasn't actually one of the recommended books, but one of the issues that I had brought forth to Tyler in a group coaching call that we had one day is I said, I'm very much in my head about self-belief and feeling like I can't do this. What would you recommend for that? And he recommended this book, Psycho-Cybernetics. And so I purchased the book 2 years ago, sat on my shelf. I think I read maybe the first few pages and I actually finally cracked it open for 75 hard. I'm on like chapter 5 or 6 now. And what this book talks about is self-image. And the reason it resonated with me so much is because it talks about how you can do all the right things, right? You can do the personal development, you can meditate every day, you can, you know, have the vision board, you can be around the right group of people. And yes, those things are going to positively affect you in the way they should, but you will only grow as far as your self-image allows you to grow. What does that mean? That means that if I see myself as a broke, poor, ugly person, just using examples here, then it's going to be so hard for me, even if I'm surrounded by a group of wealthy, beautiful, successful people, it's going to be so hard for me to grow beyond that because I don't see myself like that. And I think this resonated so much because I've been putting myself in situations around people that, you know, have wealth, people that are very disciplined, people that, you know, name a personality trait that, you know, fits in, I guess, what my definition of success would be. And A, there's discomfort in that because I know that something wasn't connecting there. Like these people aren't quite matching what I match up to. And a lot of that comes back to my self-image, right? But I think at the end of the day, I had convinced myself that, oh, I can't be like these people because I'm a mom and so-and-so isn't a mom. I can't do this because this and that. And so that's what our self-image does to us, right? Is we start trying to find excuses for why we aren't enough or why we aren't worthy or why we can't do the things that someone else is doing that maybe we want so badly to be able to do. And so when I'm reading this book, I'm starting to recognize these patterns within myself that I've been perpetuating for years and years. And my personal development journey, I always say, started in 2020 when I was still in the military. But when I separated from the military in 2021, it really was this like massive amount of change after change after change after change between becoming a new mom, separating from the military, you know, losing a massive source of income, trying to make the entrepreneurial world work in so many different ways that I saw other people were doing that I wanted to do and trying to make it work for me. And everything just got so overwhelming that I had convinced myself that I've been stagnant for a really long time. And when I look at the overarching picture, like, no, I haven't been stagnant at all. I've done a lot of incredible things since I separated from the military. But that self-image piece always creeps back in of like, am I good enough? Am I good enough? Am I good enough? And I hate using the word worthy because I think it's because I grew up in religion. And I think when I think of the word worthy, it to me, it just sounds more like a religious word than a self-reflective kind of word. And so worthy isn't really something that resonates well with me. But when I look at that phrase, I guess, am I good enough? Am I doing enough? Am I measuring up to what my idea of success is? Am I really breaking those patterns and molds? And some of those patterns that I still live my life by today are so deep rooted in childhood, probably before I was even born. Some of those are probably ancestral. And those are the things that I need to face head on and really, really break those patterns. And so I think as a veteran, it can be so hard facing all these things that I don't want to face. Because when I'm working and when I'm busy in the Navy, I don't have to face myself. But now that I'm not in the Navy and I have all this time to self-reflect and see, well, wow, Rachel, this is the person that you really are. Do you really like this person? Do you want to be this person? Are you okay with being this person for the rest of your life? And I would say that the answer right now for me is no, but I know I'm taking steps to be that person that I want to be. And so that I am okay with as long as I'm moving in the right direction. But I do really feel like I was stagnant for a really long time. And I see this with a lot of other veterans. I see that sense of purpose, I think, is thrown around a lot. Like the phrase, you get out of the military, you lose your sense of purpose. Okay, but what does that really mean? Because what is my purpose in the first place? And a lot of us really don't know. I would say that a lot of my personal purpose is in this field of military mental health. That is my passion. That's my purpose. That's what makes me feel good. And I know I'm helping other people, but then there's other things too to that purpose, right? Like there's the basic human needs. There's that feeling like I'm contributing piece. There's that, you know, feeling like I'm a good mom piece. I'm a good wife. I'm a good friend. There's all these different puzzle pieces that fall into place. And it's not always just as simple as like, oh, just get out of the military, go get a job. and you now have your purpose. I see a lot of people who get out of the military, they get a job because this is what they tell us when we're active duty, right? Like, oh, just do your time in the military, go to school or get this really good job and then life will be good. But I think that purpose piece is so deep rooted, not only mentally, but in our soul. And only we know what our actual purpose is. And that's a thing that I haven't quite figured out yet of like, how do we bridge that gap when someone is separating from the military into the veteran world so that we really find that purpose? And I don't know that it's something that you can find before you separate from active duty. I think it is so much part of that journey, that like never ending life journey where things are changing all the time. But I would say that if you've listened to the podcast interview that I did with Christian Frazier a few weeks back, I was so incredibly inspired by his life. And a lot of what he talked about is really inspiring my life right now as I'm on this like weird, I call it a quarter life crisis, but this weird journey that I'm going through in life right now. Because his ability to pivot and to say, okay, I'm going to go from this career in real estate to this career as an actor, and I did this career in the Navy, and they're like all these completely different spectrums. And I think there's so much of me that has been convinced for so many years that I have to pick one thing and do the one thing, or pick two things and do the two things, and like that's it. Don't step outside of those areas because, oh, that's scary and that's dangerous, or that's just not how life works. But then I look at these people that do pivot and they go from like acting to real estate to the Navy. I mean, that they're completely different spectrums, in my mind at least. They're completely different careers and they require completely different skill sets, but they also delve into similar skill sets. And to be able to take the power of, I've built these skills and I can use these skills in unlimited areas in life. Like that is incredibly powerful. And I was so inspired by that. Again, if you haven't listened to that one, Christian Frazier, that was so impactful to me and just broadening my mindset of like, I don't have to just pick one thing and just make that my one thing. It is okay to be one person with a plethora of different skills that maybe aren't in the same box or the same realm, but the skills still intertwine. Or maybe I'm learning a completely new skill, and that's okay too. I think a lot of that goes back to just growing up. I mean, I'm a millennial, but you know, growing up, you see a lot of these people, or I saw a lot of these people that would pick a career and stay at that career for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years. And that's really all they ever did. And I don't want that. I want a life that has variety and fun and new skills and new things, but that is also very much out of my comfort zone. And so it's been interesting. Yeah, just kind of wanted to talk through a lot of where my brain has been the last few weeks. I took a week off of social media to really just focus on me. And since I started 75 Hard, I've very much just been focusing on me. And it has been incredible because I haven't just focused on me in a really long time, and I needed that. So really excited to see where this next chapter of life takes me. I'm exploring a few different options right now, and we'll see where it ends up. I really don't know, which that in itself is a little scary, not really knowing where the next step is, but just kind of focusing on like, what do I want? What do I want my end goal to be? What do I want my life to look like in the end? And then not really putting like pressure on that, not saying like, oh, the end is going to be 6 months from now, or the end is going to be next month, but just saying like, this is where I ultimately want to end up, regardless of how long it takes me. That could take me 5 years, it could take me 2 years, but this is the ultimate goal. And then kind of reverse engineering it and figuring out, okay, well, what's the best way to get there? What's going to make the most sense? And then a lot of it is thinking outside the box of, okay, well, what would Rachel normally do? And then what is something completely off the wall, out of my comfort zone, that would be really cool to learn, but is a little scary, but will also help me hit that goal too. And so a lot of reflection, a lot of just weird work happening with me right now. But I like to take you guys along with my journey as I grow as a person. And yeah, it's really cool. other updates while I'm doing this solo episode, because, you know, there are a lot of things that I'm doing in the veteran and active duty military world in general from a action standpoint. And I don't think I've given an update really since the event that I did last September. So for those of you who know, I did a local event in September. It was called Save a Life. And a lot of that was surrounding the film Stranger at Home. Stranger at Home, by the way, is still out there, still making a huge impact. There's actually an event coming up at Harvard soon with the Stranger at Home film. And so super excited for that film team. They're doing incredible work. And they're actually working on another documentary that I'm super excited to be a part of, about the transition process. And so with that, here in Oak Harbor, Washington, we have the highest population of veterans per capita in the state of Washington. And that's not just Oak Harbor, that's Island County, which encompasses Whidbey Island, Camano Island, which has a lot of people between the two islands. But Oak Harbor has a huge, huge chunk of military and veterans because we have Naval Air Station Whidbey Island here. And so one of the things that we're working on implementing is the CMVR, which I talked a lot about the CMVR with my episode with Maurice Wilson. I think that was back in September as well. If you haven't listened to that one, go check that one out too. But he does a really great job breaking down what the CMVR is. It's the Center for Military and Veterans Reintegration. Maurice and Vic are doing incredible work across the nation with establishing the CMVR model. They're actually doing a feasibility study down in San Diego right now about this CMVR model as well. But that's one of the things that we're working to establish here in Oak Harbor. And so right now I am working with the Chamber of Commerce in Oak Harbor to create a military affairs committee that would ideally liaise with the base and the community and just open up the door and window opportunity for so many different events in the community, for different resources to be available within the community and serve as that resource hub. So I talk about all the time how important I think it would be to have just a centralized resource hub for people to access the resources they need, whether it's veterans, military, families, retirees, anyone that falls under that umbrella of military, which is really a lot of people, and having that available to people. And so that is the work that's currently being done in my community here. And always working on a million other things within the world of military mental health, because I think it's so important to continue the conversations, but also to continue taking action, because the work really doesn't stop. And I was thinking the other day, I was just kind of reflecting on the work that I've done, the work that people around me have done. And sometimes I actually slightly gaslight myself into thinking like, is the work done already? Like, you know, this happened and that's a win, and this happened and that's a win. Like, at what point do we stop? And I was like, you know, no. Like, take a few steps back. We don't stop, because until every person feels like their mental health is important in the military, there's still work to be done. And with that, I don't know if we'll ever stop talking about this, because even if everyone felt like things were okay in the military, which I don't see that happening for a really long time, unfortunately, even if everyone felt like things were okay, there's still stories to be told. There's still people that have held on to their stories for a really, really long time that haven't put them out there to the world. And so I think there's so much beauty in sharing stories and hearing stories and just being a part of this incredible compilation of people's deepest inner thoughts that a lot of people haven't shared with the world before. So thank you for being a huge, huge part of this, just by listening to and supporting this podcast. And so excited for the stories that are to come. I still have some incredible guests that are lined up to come on the show, and really excited to share their stories. I'm really excited to hear their stories. Some of my guests, I have no idea what their story is until we have the interview. And so it's always really exciting for me to hear these just incredible, incredible chapters of people's lives and putting them out to the world in the form of this podcast. So thank you again. I can never thank you guys enough. Please continue to share. If you have not given a rating and review on the podcast, please do. That helps so much. But share. That's the most important thing, because you never know who needs to listen to someone else's story and who that is going to impact. So thank you guys again, and see you next week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen in today. With your support, we are able to increase awareness of the mental health issues affecting service members and veterans today with the goal of creating positive change. If you got value from this episode, please take 30 seconds to subscribe and share this episode within your own network. Until next time, remember, your story matters, your mental health matters, and your story doesn't end here.